Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Good morning, wonderful people. Welcome to my channel. We are doing Noam Shah case study number 5. And further videos also I'll do on this. Guided by intuition. How does it get better? Now we shall try and examine Noam Shah charts of men and women, my past clients, who are more of the sensitive, light worker kind, maybe couples who have come for counseling, you know, how do I get along with my husband, how do I get along with my wife, and so on and so forth, random cases. And we'll examine their Noam Shah chart, and from the perspective of just seeing a single person's chart, their Noam Shah only. Mind you, I'm not taking the other partner's Noam Shah chart here. Just trying to get into the details of something that is the core of a bond, of a marital bond, of a relationship. Whether you're a live-in boyfriend, girlfriend, whether you are married couple, whether you're older married couple, it doesn't matter. We are trying to examine the dynamics of two core principles, and this is coming even from the Vedic astrology. The 1-7 axis, that is the self and the other, the Aries and the Libra, from the Kalpurusha Lagna perspective, and from the 4-10 axis of the Noam Shah, which is the heart axis, which is the career axis, mind and the heart axis. So if we clear, or if we work with just these 2 points and try to see where this individual and the kind of relationships they will get into can work. We are going into the positive mode now. Where can it work? Because this is important to understand and relate to one another. What is important for one person may not be important for the other. What is priority or outlook of one ascendant, one person may not be the same thing for other. So I come from a place of, well, you can take all this point system, right? The Vedic system is a point system, Ashtakuta they call it, the 8-point matching system, or the Dashakuta, or the 10-point matching system. Trust me, all the cases I have come across who have come for all these couples going fighting with one another, blah blah blah, if you take their point system, they are pretty well matched, you see. So we need to get out of this mindset, even the traditional Vedic astrologers, where they are always thinking about just match the points of these two couples and let them pack them into a room, let them get on with our life. We have finished our responsibility. This is the typical Indian attitude anyway. And that's not going to work. Not in this new energy, not going forward, and not where 2023 onwards. I'm sure of this. So we need to make sure how they are, what can be possible in terms of bonding, emotional, psychological bonding. That's what we need to examine. And that's what we'll try and study in number of cases going forward. Single charts, single Noam Shah charts. And this one we'll take the case study of a lady by the name Miss C. And we will see her Noam Shah chart and how the 1-7 axis plays out and the 4-10 axis plays out in the Noam Shah. Okay. So be with me here. Let's get into it. Okay. So let's see. I had to do this all over again because my PC froze. Okay. So now I'm checking case study number 5, Mrs. 17 axis. Like I said, first we'll study 17 axis, then we'll study 410 axis. And I want to get the principles very carefully, because this is the way we are going to work with all of the Navamsha from now on. This is a Pisces ascendant. This lady, Miss C, is a Pisces ascendant. And opposite to her, number 6, her spouse, is Virgo-like. He's an earthly type of person. Okay? So what kind of a partnership dynamic can she study, can she embrace, can she work with? Okay? Let's see the dispositors first. From her Pisces ascendant, the Jupiter dispositor is in the 8th house. Right? And from his perspective, the dispositor Mercury of Virgo is sitting in her second house. So we are talking about the dynamic of 2-8 axis play out here, which in this case is Aries and Libra like. Okay, specifically Mercury versus Jupiter, because Jupiter is the dispositor of her ascendant sitting in the 8th house, and it is directly looking at Mercury, which is sitting in the 2nd house for her. Right? This is only her Navamsha chart. We are only analyzing with respect to her Navamsha chart. Now, Mercury neutral in the 2nd, slightly stifled I should say, because you should look at this dispositor chart, who is sitting in whose house matters. Saturn is very high because it's exalted in Libra, Saturn. Jupiter is neutral, so it's fine. Saturn looks at her Mercury and suppresses it, because he is talking in a harsh manner to her sometimes. Sometimes in a very expanded manner, because Jupiter also sitting in the same house. So this expansion and contraction of her speech, which is the 2nd house, kind of tends to play out more. Yes. And so what happens is she can become confused at the attitude of a partner sometimes. Sometimes it is preachy and teachy and encouraging, which is Jupiter looking at Mercury. Sometimes it is stifling and harsh truths and very judgmental kind, very suppression kind, because Saturn is also looking at that, right? This can happen. This can happen at a very powerful level. And because it's 2-8 axis, which is playing out in speech, and sex life can be affected. Remember, this itself teaches us a principle. Why Taurus and Scorpio are opposite? Taurus is materialistic, wants to talk, it's the 2nd house, wants to express. Scorpio is internal, it wants to feel the sex life. Okay, so this is the dynamic that plays out in 2-8 axis, classically speaking. Which also tells us that if your communication is good between the partners, there's going to be good sex life. Simple. If you're not communicating with the partner, doesn't matter, I don't care if you're falling in love head over heels, or you're standing on your head or standing on your heels, doesn't matter, none of these things matter. If your communication dynamic with the partner, and I've seen this over and over and over again with couples, if something has gone south, their communication is really bad, in the sense they have not worked on their communication between the partners. Either they are being too judgmental, too harsh, too critical, or I think what is right and you think is incorrect, being too fixed about opinions, like the, you know, Taurus Scorpio axis or Leo Aquarius, very fixed kind of thinking. These are the main causes, and they are not having any sex. And if they are not having any sex, they are not having any marriage. What are you doing there? Growing fruits? There's no point in a marriage if there is no proper sexual bonding at the intimate level. Just that simple. Everything else is nonsense. Okay? So let's see how they bond there. Is there a possibility of bonding in the 1-7 axis in her Navamsha chart? Well, here's a tip. She can encourage his sexual instinct by listening to what he has to say. Why? Because looking at it from the spouse's perspective, Mercury is sitting in his 8th house. He gets turned on by communication. If there is no planet there, we have to look at dispositor. Let's see other cases. That's why we'll do more case studies. Okay. But for now, in this case, Mercury is sitting in his 8th house. That means communication becomes a turn on for him. And that's necessary. She needs to understand that, because that's in her chart. on the other hand, looking at it from her perspective, he can encourage her sexual instinct, which is his second house. Okay, looking at it from her perspective, her sexual instinct is driven by the combination of these two guys over in her eighth house. So he can encourage her sexual motivation by being more physically, openly sensual, artistic, aesthetic, and liberally opening up new doors, new ways of exploring sensuality, sexuality, intimacy. She likes that because that's what's sitting in her eighth house in Libra. It is sitting in Libra. That's why I have used those particular words. They are very Libran in nature. Libra is an air sign. Saturn encourages the air sign. Saturn encourages a grounded form of sexuality when it is sitting in the 8th house. Jupiter expands that idea of aesthetic sense sitting in the 8th house. Aesthetic sense with respect to sexuality. You got to understand it this way. This is the only way she can develop that continuous bond with her partner, and her partner can bond with her. If she sees, understands this, appreciates this, and works with this, can have a fantastic marriage. Simple. Let us see now another important aspect, which is 410. We are just going to lose 1-7 and 410. Okay, that's the most important one. We are looking at only the Kendras and how they play out. The Kendra is the core. Okay, let's see the next one, 410 axis. I hope this records properly and stops. Okay, so now let's see the 410 axis of both. Right, it represents each one's heart. There has to be the heart connection. That's why you are staying together. It's not about what you want from him, he wants from me, she wants from you, and etc, etc, etc. It's not about the materials. That's not the purpose of this whole thing. There has to be a heart connection. There has to be a mind connection. Heart and mind are the 410 axis. Self and the other is 1-7 axis, which we covered in the last slide. Now, we are seeing the 410 axis. So, from her ascendant, 4th house becomes this one, the blue pink highlighted one. The dispositor, and we are only looking at dispositor's aspects, we'll cover add details in later case studies. It becomes too complicated. Otherwise, we'll start simply first. Yes, we've got plenty of charts to do. So, 4th house for her becomes Gemini, again ruled by Mercury, which is sitting in her 2nd house. So, once again, we have the Mercury playing out for her dominantly in the 4th house. From his side, the 4th house is again ruled by Jupiter, right? It's Jupiter, Mercury, Jupiter, Mercury, both sides. See that? So, what happens here? His 4th house dispositor, looking at it from his perspective, is also sitting in his 2nd house. So, what does this lead to us? What does this give us as a positive scope of what she needs to adopt as her approach towards her partner for a heart connection? Wow, that was a long sentence. Okay, number one, his 4th house, heart, mother, okay, dispositor is sitting in 2nd house. Okay, this is sitting in 2nd house again of home and family. So home and family matters is very high in value to this gentleman, means everything to him. He desires to talk about his family, his elder siblings, his younger siblings. He may be a guide, mentor to his elder sibling because Jupiter is in his 2nd house. Right? It matters to him. This is his value system. It matters to his heart, his emotion. He may be a guide, mentor to his elder siblings also, if any. He could get very preachy within the home, because Jupiter is the dispositor and it is sitting in the house of home and family. He may be a teacher in his profession also. Why? Because it is sitting in the 2nd house of work. Number 2, her 4th house. Now let's talk about her, because this is her Navamsha chart. Her 4th house, heart, mother, dispositor is sitting in her 2nd house. Now Mercury, if it is sitting in the sign of Mars, it doesn't do well. Look at the table there. Okay, house of Mars, Mercury is the enemy. Okay, so it doesn't do very well. So already it becomes stifled. Plus, looking at it from her ascendant, 4th house is the enemy. So relations between mother is her mother is not so good. Okay, But what happens? Relationship with a mom is debilitated for Thao's anime. She could communicate and confide a lot to her elder sibling if she has some, because Mercury is looking at the second house, okay? And she could also be very good communication with her in-laws, which is the 8th house. Slightly suppressed, expansive Jupiter-Saturn combination there, but there could be a good flow, better than her mother. She could communicate with her mother-in-law. This happens. Many times this happens, right? So now, what happens here? She could have a communication and confide a lot to her elder sibling or to her in-laws, and probably her job or work involves a lot of speaking, because second house is a lot house of work that he needs to understand. But we are talking about her for the moment. Number three, this is the conclusion. Since Mercury in hers looks like a student, because it is her fourth house lord, and this man, this gentleman over here, is the teacher. Now we come to the core of it. Looks like a student to his Jupiter, who wants to be and feels proud of and engages heart to heart there in the area of his home, family, etc. This is post-marriage because this is Namamsha. Their hearts would connect well. Listen to this. Their hearts would connect well and bond well if she allows him to be the teacher. As much as his heart desires, let him speak his mind off, let him be a preachy, teachy kind of fellow in the house, let him be that. That's who he is. That's what his dispositor Jupiter urges him to do. Okay, understand this, women. Become student-like role to him. Submit to him. I'm not saying slavery here. Submit to him is a receptivity, the feminine receptivity. She can be that. She is naturally feminine. And the most crucial one in this chart, she is a water sign ascendant and he is an earth-like ascendant. Earth needs to hold the water, not the other way around. Water does not hold the earth. Okay, so she needs to be held as an ascendant. That's where she feels comfortable. She needs that grounding. She literally needs the ground as a water sign, right? So this is what we should be analyzing it like. And we'll do this with a number of others oncoming, upcoming charts. Okay, we'll just do 1, 7, and 4, 10 axis, and it can play out in different ways. That's what we will know by, you know, analyzing more charts. So keep watching. Thank you for all your likes, share, subscribes. Have a great day. I'll see you in the next. Bye bye.